And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Pleased to welcome today Frank Blanquette with FNX, First Nations Experience. Frank, thank you so much for joining me for this.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And now we'll be, in a way, preaching to the choir in that a lot of people, thankfully, know what FNX is. And we're going to be talking about some Emmys. This was a big, big evening very, very recently for FNX. We're talking about 7 nominations and 4 wins. We'll come to that in a moment. But for those who don't know about FNX, this is just a little over a decade old. Talk about what FNX is, please. The inception, how it even started.
Yeah, so we turned 15 this September. We launched in September of 2011, and we launched as the first national Native American television station in the country, distributed by PBS as well. And, you know, PBS, one of the most trusted names in the country. So having that affiliation has been great for us. Having that distribution within the PBS system has been great for us. But it started, honestly, when I first walked in the doors to KVCR, I was a student in 2006. And the first project that I touched was the People of the Pines series that was produced. It was produced in partnership with the Yahaviatam of Seminole Nation. And that project was the springboard to FNX, to what the station would become. You know, based on that series, we started throwing around the idea of what would a station look like if it was broadcasting nothing but Native content, Indigenous content. I actually did the video pitch work that was presented to the tribe, a mock version of what FNX could look like. You know, I was still coming off of being a student, so I wasn't a presenter for it, but I did all the video presentation work that was used to pitch the station, and they gave us a grant to launch the station, establish the station, and then when it came time to become a streaming service, you know, trying to meet viewers where they're consuming content, when it came time to launch the app as a video on demand platform, as a web and internet entity, Yahaviatam also gave us the grant to be able to launch the platform.
Way cool. Okay, so now you touched on something that I definitely wanted to get to anyway, and that is, yeah, we think about television channels, but these days, so many people aren't necessarily gathered around the TV in the corner of the living room or whatever the case is. You're watching your stuff on your phone, and so hence the app. So let's talk about, yes, this is a TV channel. It's much more than that, though. So talk about the various ways that people can see FNX.
Yeah, so in May 1st of 2025, we officially launched the FNX app, and it launched as a free streaming service. You know, it's been cool to hear people call it the native Netflix because, you know, you immediately get a reference as to like the look and feel of what the app is. But it's a free app. It's available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Android TV. And you could download the app or visit fnx.org/app, and that'll show you all the places that were available. Smart TVs, LG, Vizio, Samsung. It has the live stream of the channel, and it has video on demand content. And, you know, one of the cool things that I love showing people when we talk about the app is all the kids programming, you know, seeing children's programming from Wampos Bay to Navajo Highways. And that's one of the things I really love about the station is how much kid content we have. You know, it's an ocean of native content, but seeing like that kids programming is really key.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that I'd love to hear a little bit more about, and if I'm not mistaken, this was your brainchild, and I'm talking about the aux. I refer to it as basically it's the MTV, when MTV had music, but it's all indigenous. And I often back that up by saying, when people think of native music, a lot of people will go right to R. Carlos Nakai playing a cedar flute in the middle of the Grand Canyon. Like, that's it. They don't think about every type of music there is out there. So we're talking about all indigenous people, but it could be jazz, funk. We've got some heavy metal violin that I want to get out here. It's all across the board, whether it's punk or rock or opera or jazz, instrumental, singing, traditional. And that's the cool thing about it. It's not only breaking stereotypes, but it's introducing people to a lot of music that a lot of these folks might not have another platform. And so that, I think, is one of the best aspects of this. Folks like Dreesus or Shabastic, Superman, a lot of people that we've had on because of this, and it ties into that. So the aux, how did that and when did that begin as a part of FNX?
when I was in high school, you know, I'd get home and I'd turn on MTV just to see what new music was coming out. And that was the thing that everybody did. And we wanted that for our native kids. And honestly, like all kids, because music transcends all demographics and all age groups. And so the AUX, the Aboriginal Unity Experience, came about. We launched it as a half-hour show every Friday, and then it turned into an hour-long show every Friday at 8 p.m. But it gave us the opportunity, like Sage Cornelius is a violinist that you mentioned. And then there's other violinists. Quetzal Guerrero is another amazing violinist that also does some different eclectic types of music, including metal. But I mean, you have jazz musicians, you know, and you have hip hop artists is definitely something that's very strong in Native communities. Different types of music genres that are featured on the AUX. And it's a great way to describe it. You know, when MTV used to play music, it's a jukebox of mixed genres of videos. Everything that you can think of is featured on the AUX.
It's a really great program, which you can only find through FNX. I'm David Fleming in conversation with FNX station manager Frank Blanquette for this edition of KVC Arts. We'll hear about some Emmy nominations and wins a little bit later in the program. First, though, a bit more about FNX, and with that, a bit more about the AUX, the music video side of FNX.
It's a really fun show, and it gave us an insight into an age demographic that PBS traditionally has not really reached, and that's like a teenage audience, you know, late teens and early 20s. But the series itself is for everybody, and, you know, at the very opening, it says that it's aimed to highlight the different talents of Native musicians, and it does exactly that, and it breaks some of the stereotypes. Certainly, you know, flute music is part of Native culture, but it's not the only part of Native culture, and drums are not the only part of Native culture, especially when it comes to California, where you have a lot of rattles and clapper sticks, you know. And Audio Pharmacy, we've had both on the AUX and on KVC Arts, is one of those bands that uses clapper sticks from the Pomo area and different areas. But yeah, it's really a showcase of the different types and different styles of Native music that's not necessarily coming from a cultural perspective, you know, that reaches into new types of instruments and new types of music and evolving types of music and mixed genres of music. So it's a fun show.
Oh, it's a wonderful type of fusion at times, too, whether it's between a fusion of some sort of cultural elements. But then you might also have Sage, you know, coming in on the violin. And we're talking electric, sometimes just metal, bang your head kind of electric violin. It's incredible stuff. Sage, please come out soon. Now, beyond this being a show that people can catch, it was nice to see that kind of a growth. But this is something that someone can go through this jukebox. A great way of putting that, I think, Frank. They can go to this at any point and look for the different artists and not just sample through the music, but listen to and watch the music videos. When FNX started, just how local was it? I mean, did we start off in at least a few states before the massive expansion that we have now?
Yeah, we launched locally for the first year, and almost a year to the day that we initially launched the station, PBS started distributing us on a national scale to every PBS station that had the capability to carry a .2 channel or .3 channel, .4 channel on the channel on the digital tier. And, you know, we pitched it at the PBS conference in Chicago that year. So we joined a room and a very long table of PBS executives, and we presented what the FNX channel looked like. And we thought that they would take, you know, a couple weeks or months to make a decision. They asked us to step out of the room. They talked about it, and they brought us back in about 20 minutes. And they said, yeah, we love the idea. Let's do it. And so that's how we were able to be distributed within the PBS system. And you had to have somebody, like, vet you into that conversation. And Ruby Calvert from Wyoming PBS, who was their general manager at the time, she loved the idea of the station, and she vouched for us to be able to present at this table. And that is how the station was picked up for national distribution within the PBS system. And we initially launched simultaneously. We had KET in Northern California, KUAC in Alaska, and LPTV in Minnesota. Those were our three initial affiliates that gave us that initial national distribution. And I think our fourth affiliate station was actually a tribal station, Cheyenne Arapaho Television out of Concho, Oklahoma. Then Navajo Nation TV came on board. So we have a total of five tribal television stations that carry FNX, that distribute FNX. And then we have a total of 43 stations that broadcast us. Most of those are PBS member stations. And we're in a total of 34 states right now.
Wow, yeah, 34 states now. And so with PBS, so about a year later, you said almost exactly a year later, that's when PBS started helping distribute it on the national level. Mm-hmm. What that means is that you didn't just slowly at that point pick up another state and then another one a year or so later or whatever. So we just turned 15. So once the PBS distribution started, that had to have been exponential growth as far as how many states and how many channels. Hard to keep track of. It would change by the time you could report the numbers, I would think.
This year alone, we have 4 new affiliates. San Diego just came on board this year.
Okay.
KPBS out in San Diego. So we're still continuing to grow. Of course, you're hoping that, you know, immediately every PBS station across the country would carry you. And then there's some states that were a little bit slow. Like we thought Arizona would be among the first states to pick us up. And
you would think New Mexico.
You know, New Mexico has been a great place for us on the broadcast side. I think the first place that I visited where people were stopping me on the street because I have an FNX on, right? Like they stopped us on the street and were just so ecstatic to see us there. And we were there for Santa Fe Indian Market and we had vendors giving us items. And, you know, we didn't want to just take stuff, but we also wanted to be respectful of their offer. And so we made it a point to get their information and send them FNX shirts or FNX swag after that.
Cool.
But that was amazing because you have this hope that the station is being watched by the community. And then when you're out there and people stop you and tell you, we always hear Wapo's Bay is people's favorite show. We just heard it at a conference a couple weeks ago. And it's true. Wapo's Bay is probably our most popular show on the FNX channel. If you don't know Wapo's Bay, it's a claymation family and it's a fun series. And that's been our number one show since it premiered on the station. But hearing people talk about it, and quick story, we were at the Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas last year. And the minute that we walked in carrying equipment and with our FNX shirts on, there was a kid about 20 years old. And he said, "You guys are with FNX. That's all I watched growing up."
Oh, cool.
And, you know, if he's 20 now, that means that he's been watching FNX since he was 5.
Yeah.
And to put that in perspective, it's like, this next generation of kids are growing up with their own TV channel that they identified with. And I think that's really, really special.
So many people struggle with that or wanting that to have representation, whether you're a young woman or someone of any ethnic background. There's often not representation out there. And so this just gives so many people so much. And this generational thing that you just mentioned, yeah, they will, like the old shampoo commercial, they'll tell 2 friends, and they'll tell 2 friends, and so on and so on. That's incredible, the kind of growth that this has been getting. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Frank Blanquette, station manager for FNX, First Nations Experience. On June 27th, FNX won 4 Emmys out of 7 nominations, and we'll hear about some of those shows in just a bit. Now, as Frank and I were speaking, whether it was about music, video work, films, whatever it was, the word representation kept coming up, or at least coming to mind. Lack of representation historically, as well as opportunities for representation.
And to put it in perspective, I didn't write a speech for our Emmys that you mentioned at the opening of the show, but one of the things that I said is that when I was growing up, one of the TV characters that I gravitated to was Eric Estrada on Chips.
Yeah,
because he looked like me, right? He represented, I am Yucatec Maya, but, you know, identify with the Latino community, and seeing him on television, that's who I gravitated to, right? Because who else was like on TV back then that, you know, looked like our families? And so, but now with FNX being out there, I think kids have something to identify, you know, especially with like a show like Navajo High was being out there with programs like Courage and POW and different series that we have on the channel now. And so I like that the idea of representation is changing for our Native communities.
Oh, God, truly. I mean, I cannot think of Native representation when I was growing up. Tonto. Okay? There was him. Jay Silverheels. Okay?
So, yeah, yeah.
Or there was Iron Eyes Cody, who was Sicilian, come to think of it. The pollution commercial.
Yes, and yeah, the crying Native. Yeah,
yeah. Yep. That's what was there. And so thankfully, this kind of representation is growing and it gives kids something to aspire to.
And be proud of, you know, I think cowboys and Indians were like a big thing. And I have one friend that growing up, when she knew that her family was going to the reservation back home, she was afraid because of John Wayne movies, right? Like her reference is like, well, Native people are the bad guys.
Yeah,
and being Native, you know, she was afraid of Native people based on that representation that was on television. And so I think that is very, very sad. And I just love the idea that moving forward, we're going to try. And it's a lot of work. I think, you know, when we started the station, it was 0.4 representation on television, 0.04. And now it's 0.06. So it moved a small amount, but it makes a difference to our communities. That small amount makes a difference to our communities.
Without a doubt. All right, talking about the Emmys that we referenced a couple of times at the beginning and just a few moments ago, let's talk about the shows. We're talking about 7 nominations and 4 wins. One we mentioned earlier, Navajo Highways. This is Pete Sands. In the past, through FNX or through KVC Arts, one would know him perhaps as Blackus. But this is his puppet show, and I know that this went back a long way. So talk about Navajo Highways, please.
Yeah, so we have a long history with Pete, and it actually even has a history with KVC Arts, what you see on screen, because the first time that I listened to a Pete Sands interview, it was the one that you did with him on KVC Arts, and that was before we put cameras when Native people came through, right? And I listened to that show, and I was like, I want to put cameras in there. And so that was kind of like the springboard to what KVC Arts became on the FNX side. And so when you interviewed Dries, that was the first time that we put cameras in the show. And it's one of my favorite shows that we have.
Yeah.
And so we have a long history with Pete. We've seen him as a filmmaker, as an actor, as a musician. Now we get to see him as a dad. And he had this puppet series that he developed. And, you know, we kind of were following the journey of the puppet show to see where it was going. And finally, he had an opportunity. He received a grant from the Navajo Nation. And we approached them like, hey, where is this show going to live? And at that time, like, they were still getting the show off the ground. So we came on board as a production company as well. And so it ended up launching as an FNX original series. It's a show that when you watch it, it's a lot like Sesame Street. And you learn Navajo culture. You learn, and not just Navajo culture, because they have a lot of guests that are Native from different communities as well. But you learn Navajo words, and you learn how to say hello, and you learn the word for Christmas. You know, we had what I consider probably one of the first Christmas episodes for a Native show is Yate Kishmish, which is how Navajo Nation pronounces Christmas. And so that launched December 5th of 2025 for the holiday season. It just became like such a show that represents not just Navajo Nation, but really a Native community as far as these kid shows go and the look of it. I mean, you look at it and it's this very cinematic kid show, you know, that happens to have puppets on board and they're learning the Navajo language. And I think Sadie, the main character in the show, I think Native kids that live on the reservation will identify with her, and then city Natives will identify with her because she lives in the city and she's coming home to spend time with her grandmother. And it's really a show, you know, that Native kids can identify with, but the entire non-Native community can really learn a lot from. And it's a fun show. It's comedic. It's just been great following the journey of the series and seeing it get 2 nominations and then get 2 wins. Yeah. That was amazing.
How many seasons are we in? Are we about to start the second?
The second season is actually shooting in July. July 2026, it starts shooting, and it should be on the station by next year. But yeah, there's 1 season, and it's available on the FNX app. And then season 2 will be available next year.
Okay. This is considered an FNX original as well, yes?
It is. It's an original FNX production, and we're really proud of it. You know, we had a chance to come on board early. And one of our producers, Sahar Kajanori, did the set design for it and won an Emmy for set design.
Yeah.
So it's a show that's close to our hearts. It was Pete Sands' dream child, you know, and seeing it come to fruition and, you know, seeing him come from being a musician, very grungy musician, and to seeing him as a dad, you know, like that's been awesome, because I think that he's in his element in this series based on, you know, like watching him with his girls. And this show is kind of like an homage to them.
Oh, that's really cool. I would imagine less jewelry. It's a choking hazard. I don't know. I'm David Fleming in conversation with FNX station manager Frank Blanquette for this edition of KVC Arts, talking about the 7 Emmy nominations and 4 wins June 27th. One of those shows, Navajo Highways. Frank, I'm so glad you mentioned Sahar Kajanori and her win for set design. Navajo Highways had another win as well.
Yeah, it was informational/instructional. because it teaches the Dene language, Navajo language, it was considered for that category.
That's totally cool. And that was, again, an FNX original launched through here. And Pete, again, no stranger to this station. One doesn't have to go back too far. So again, we were talking about 7 nominations and 4 wins from these shows. We're going to be talking about a total of 6 shows here. The Emmys themselves, this is something that I was confused on just because of seeing different posts or announcements or whatnot. So people think of the Emmys, you think of the big event in Hollywood, you know, everybody in their best rented tux or whatever the case is. Then there's also, you may hear of regional Emmys. If you could please differentiate the different types of Emmys that there are that people may hear of, and so they're not confused.
Yeah, so the big Emmys that are broadcast nationally, those are for series and programs that reach at least 50% of the population. So especially within the PBS system, unless it's like a Ken Burns film that was distributed by every PBS station across the country, a lot of local stations like KVCR have programs that they create that are great series, but they're not eligible for the big Emmys. That's where the regional Emmys come into play, where that gives those local broadcast organizations a place to showcase the work that they create. Stations like FNX, KVCR, that opportunity to submit for the programs that we're creating. And so that is the main difference. The statues are a little bit different as well, but these are still presented by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. It's just a way for the Academy to recognize the work of stations that don't reach 50% of the U.S. population.
Okay. Well, it's fantastic that we even have the opportunity to present. You know, there's so many frustrated filmmakers that they can create, and they can create wonderful, wonderful product because of a lack of distribution. It's only seen at a very local level, or if you're lucky, it might get to a state conference or something like that, but with something like FNX, this is also, again, an opportunity. We were talking about this with the musicians, where this gives people a platform to perform and have their art to be seen and heard and felt, and they otherwise wouldn't have that platform. So again, this is something else that's great about FNX. 7 nominations, 4 wins. We just heard about Navajo Highways. Let's talk about Red on the Runway now. And this isn't a typical TV show as far as, okay, here's the plot, here's the main actors. This is really a fashion show, but it surrounds so much more, including ties to this region, Southern California.
Yeah, we had 2 designers. One is from the Navajo Nation, but she lived in the San Diego area, has a presence in the San Diego area. The other designer is from the Crow Reservation in Montana. And one of the models, the one that wore the MMIWP piece, she is Luiseno and Kumeyaay from the San Diego region as well. And so we had local representation. And, you know, the main stage was Milan Fashion Week, one of the biggest platforms for fashion in the world. And it was an opportunity for these designers not to just showcase the work that they do in the fashion industry, you know, in fashion forward, you know, the different styles of design that they do, but also some of the issues that Native communities have been plagued for a long time. And missing and murdered Indigenous women is definitely one of those issues in a country that itself is suffering with high levels of murder of their women. And so they had a chance to present this in a country that itself has a high human trafficking rate.
And now you and Sahar, when you went to Milan, you not only got to see this incredible show, and again, this is just, I'm looking at the word platform for people that might not ordinarily get to present their works, especially in this way with a cause behind it and something so important behind it. You were able to do some interviews behind the scenes. You spoke with models, producers of the event. Talk about some of the interviews that you were able to do there.
We were able to talk to both models, designers. We were able to talk to some of the organizers of the event itself. Not everything made it into the piece that was specific for MMIW, MMIWP. We do have a piece that's in the works that talks about the trip overall. And I think a lot of the pieces that didn't make it into Red on the Runway will be in this follow-up documentary that really talks about the overall experience, like being on the plane, you know, some of the backstory of the designers that you didn't get to hear in this piece. Because when you get into telling a story, that documentary is a half hour long, half hour flies by. And that's a good problem to have, right? Yeah, like when it leaves you wanting more instead of like, when is this going to be over? And a lot of times, you know, when you're working on a documentary, there's so much that you leave on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
But when we shot this, even the way that we worded our grant, we know that there is a segment that's going to be about the overall trip as a whole, including a section reference to the work that they're doing as far as raising awareness for the MMIW movement. But really telling the individual stories of what it takes to go out there, you know, because a lot of these designers, a lot of these models, they have to raise the funds to be able to go on these types of trips, you know, and I think some of the work that went into that is a story in it of itself. And so that's going to be something that's upcoming. But
nice.
Right on the Runway, you know, it was great to have the nomination. We didn't get the win, but Emmy nominated is still a very good feather to put in your cap for sure.
Oh my gosh, yes. Again, truly incredible and a wonderful opportunity. So this is going to be some sort of a, I don't want to say part two, because it's more like Red on the Runway is a good cross-section of the overall. So there's going to be just more on the fashion part of it, the trip to Milan in general, and Red on the Runway is just one portion of that.
Yes, and we haven't come up with the title yet, but you know, when we were working on the piece and the pieces that the two designers, so Rebecca Jarvi is one of the designers and Isabella Rose Design is the other designer that really lead this production. They called it Road to Milan, and so we might piggyback on that. In order to raise funding for this trip, they had like sweatshirts and they had some swag that they were making available, and so we might keep that Road to Milan moniker in the series somewhere, whether that ends up being the actual title or not. But yeah, it's something that's in the works, and like you said, Red on the Runway was a portion of that, and the rest of the story will come out in the coming months, hopefully.
Beautiful, and we'll hopefully have you on again later in the year to hear more about it. It's been conversation with FNX station manager Frank Blanquette for this edition of KVC Arts. FNX recently received 7 nominations and 4 wins at the recent regional Emmys. We just heard about a couple of the programs which received wins and or nominations, and we'll hear about the rest on the next KVC Arts. Also, find out more at fnx.org. Thanks again to Frank Blanquette, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Sharina Wad, and Tony Lopez. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and more still at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please support your public radio home, KVCR, with a contribution any time of the year. It takes approaching 3 minutes of your time, and that's true whether you're setting up a sustaining membership with an automatic $5 or $10 or more coming out as a contribution. It's also just about 3 minutes of your time for a one-time gift. Either can be done at kvcr.org/support. And again, thank you so much.